that I got to be honest with you. Like I said in the prayer, I'm not a huge fan of dealing with. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do for the next 20 minutes. And most of the times that I've spoken in the last 2 months, they have not been longer than 25 minutes. So 25 minutes or less, what I'm asking for you to do is this. Stay with me, all right? For those of you that feel the need to get up and pee, I promise you I will be done by 15 after 8, okay? I promise you I'll be done, so please hold it. Because tonight we're going to deal with a topic that is a difficult one to deal with because it affects so many of us. So here's what I want to do. How many of you have seen either in person you've worn it or you've seen out at a party or at some place you've seen a picture of a costume that was awesome? Like just a costume that somebody put in for Halloween or whatnot that you were like, or cosplay or whatever, that is just an awesome costume. Raise your hand. Okay, now how many of you have seen somebody out there put on a costume and you're like, that took no thought whatsoever? You know, it's like the guy who always thinks he's cool because he shows up not doing anything that's asked of him and nobody thinks they're cool, but they think they are, so they show up with like, you know, a party hat on, they're like, I'm a pinata, you know, like just that type of person, right? How many of you have seen somebody like that for Halloween or a party or something like that? Okay, so there are different types of costumes, right? There are different types of things that people put on. The first type could be kind of just creative. Now, they're not like massive. They're not extravagant. They're just creative and sometimes kind of lame, but I've got a few pictures up here. All right, so you've got Netflix and chill over there on your left. Netflix and chill. He's holding a bag of ice. And then you have old Darla from Finding Nemo holding the fish there on the other one. Okay, they didn't take a lot of time and effort. It literally was taping Netflix on his shirt and grabbing a bag of ice. And then you have dude who put his head in pigtails. All right, so it doesn't take a lot of time. Now, contrast that with this next one that is super intricate. Okay, all kinds of makeup and all that. I almost showed you a video, but we don't have the time, of this girl. Oh, is that what it is? It goes down into their shirt? That's not a shirt, that's a table. Who doesn't have curved shoulders? And actually, I photoshopped it, so it is actually a person. But, so here's the thing. There are different types of masks out there. There are different types of all kinds of things that you may see. Now, here's the thing. Many people for a Halloween party or whatever will put on a mask because they want to impress people or they want people to look and vote them as the best dressed or whatever. Some of you for the totally bad 80s prom gone bad will dress up in a way that you try and impress people by looking different than what you actually do. Now, we do that at Halloween. We do that in those different types of things because we want people's perceived idea of us to be different from what it is. Right? That's why we wear a mask, because we want somebody to think we're somebody else, think we're funny, think we're cute, whatever, but we live for the opinions of others. And so in this series, what we're going to talk about is not a physical mask like the one you just saw a second ago, but we're going to talk about masks that we as Christians put on, that we sometimes put on our face to hide from everybody who we actually are and to give people a false idea of who we are. To give people this preconceived idea that we've got it all together, okay? The first mask we're going to come to is in Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 15. It says this, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit." That's just common sense. "Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore," now I want you to, verse 20, I kind of want you to hold on to in your mind. "Therefore, by their fruits," excuse me, "you will know them." Now verse 21. Now these, by the way, if I had to say some scary verses in the Bible, the next couple ones would be it. And that's why I'm saying when we deal with this tonight, I want your undivided attention. Please don't talk to each other, nudge each other, show each other cell phones, things like that. Just for the next 20 minutes, please stay with me, because we're going to deal with a topic that's actually scary as a preacher. Okay? Verse 21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I, Jesus, will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What we're going to talk about tonight is the Christian mask. Because there are lots of us, I shouldn't say lots. I have a feeling, not just in our youth group, but throughout the entirety of our generation or your generation Christianity-wise, that there are a lot of teenagers who have the Christian mask on. And what I mean by that is this. When they were a kid, they said a prayer to make mommy and daddy happy, and so therefore they're saved. Or they came to church camp one time, and this is why I mean it's we're going to talk about it, okay? It's difficult to deal with in just one sentence. They came to church camp one time because of emotion. They went forward and got saved because the emotion they felt when they went forward was that they wanted to get saved. Okay. If Matthew chapter 7 is true, and it says there will be many that say to me, Lord, Lord, haven't we done all these things in your name? Haven't we prophesied all these things? And he will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Then what that says to me is that our churches, there are people who have said something and believe that they are saved, but are not. Now, before we go any farther, this message is not to try and make you doubt your salvation, okay? If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, there is no taking that away from you. But I want to explain what I mean by that. And not just, well, I said the sinner's prayer when I was four, so therefore I'm saved. Man, it may be that. But for a lot of people, my wife said a prayer when she was younger, and then when she was 12, she went, wait a minute, I just kind of said that because it was a thing to say, but I didn't actually believe it here. I knew it up here, but I didn't believe it here. So I want to talk to you tonight about the Christian mask because I want to make sure our youth group doesn't have it on. Because I want to make sure that you know for sure not a mask you're putting on, but that if people look at you, your true identity is Christ because you've accepted him. So let's look at the characteristics of those who wear the Christian mask. Number one, they know God. They know him. These people in Matthew chapter 7 come forward to Jesus and say, or as Jesus is talking about them coming forward, they come forward and say to him, Lord, Lord, they know his name. To say it twice back to back means they were giving emphasis on his lordship. So they're looking at him and saying, you are God. You're God. So they know him. They know who he is. They know the facts about him. They may have even seen or know of his miracles. They may even think that it was spectacular that he healed the blind man or that he raised the dead. They may know all of those things. They may know all of the stories. They may know everything about God. They may be able to quote scripture. They may know him, but they don't know him. If you were at camp this last summer, Scotty Neal preached a message where he talked about how when he was a teenager, he knew God, but he didn't know God. And what that meant was this. He knew all of the right things to say. And some of you, when you come into youth group, man, you know all the right things to say. Oh, praise God. Bless Jesus. Worship. And we know all of the right things to say. But the moment you walk out of here, it's like everything is different. And you have no care about doing what is right. No desire, no anything for doing what is right. Okay, you may know God, but do you know God? Do you know him on an intimate level? Now, I'm not saying this. When I say know God, I'm not saying that you have to be able to look back and point to a specific date and time of when you accepted Christ. I can't. I know it was sometime in the fall of 93, just because I remember there were dead leaves on the ground. But it could have been winter. But I remember sometime around fall of 93. Now, I can tell you, I remember what I said. I remember what I believed in things. But I can't take you and say, oh, this date is time stamped in my Bible is when I did it. That's one of the reasons if I lead someone to Christ, I tell them, write this in your Bible or save it on in your phone as a contact under salvation date and then put the date of birth on there. Do something to remember because Satan will come in and attack you with fear. And say, because you struggle with this, are you even really saved? So fear is going to come in. But you don't have to know the specific date and time. It's a help because you can be like, look at that, Satan, and point at it. But it's not a cover-all for everything. These people know God. They knew who he was. Anyone who is here now, I look around, and you all know who God is. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. We don't have any first-time visitors who would like, who's that now? You know, everybody here would know who God is. But my concern isn't if you know who he is, but if you know him. So the first characteristic is these people know God. They know of God. Number two, these people speak of God. Man, these people go out, they go out, and they prophesy in the name of Christ. What does that mean? That means that they stand up, and in that day and age, it was normally the street corner. That's where the town herald would proclaim all these things, slash Pharisee, Sadducee. But they would stand in the town corner, and they would proclaim the truth, whether that was what was going on in the kingdom at that point or whether it was scripture. Yes. Speak. They speak. So they would declare. They would speak about it in the town corner so that everybody would hear. So you'd have these people that would go out and prophesy about God. God has done works. He's done wonders. He's done awesome things. God is great. God is good. God is fantastic. And they would go out and they would prophesy. They would preach about God. They would speak about him. But they didn't have a relationship with him. And here's what I think we fall in the dangers of, is that if some of us believe that we were saved when we really, in reality, in our mind, know we weren't, but we're just trying to say, oh, no, I think it was, and well, based on this, or my parents told me when I was, you know, 1 and a half, I said the word Jesus, so therefore I'm saved. And so we try and pin it back to these little things and say, that's why I'm saved. We can go out and we can tell others about Christ. There are people I know for sure, based off of this passage, who have led other people to a saving knowledge of Christ. They've taken them to God's word and said, this is how you believe in Jesus. This is what Jesus says. This is who he is. And so they've taken him through that, and they believe, but the person leading them doesn't actually believe in Jesus. They know about him. They'll speak about him to the friend or to the person, but they will not have an intimate relationship with him. Now, you may ask yourself, how do you know the difference? Point number three. They do not reek of God. W-R-E-A-K. They do not reek of God. And what I mean is this. If you have ever been around somebody that just got done playing an intense sport, Miss Brittany had the unfortunate responsibility of being around me in college after I'd finished a basketball game. I drove a van. She normally rode in the front seat. We didn't have time to shower, and I was not an axe person. You know, I was not one of those people. So, because that's worse. So, as I would get in the van, I noticed something. She would go from me like, hey, to, hey. Like she didn't want it to seep into her mouth, right? Because I reeked. I smelled. Why? Because what I just got done doing, was what made me smell like that, okay? The intensity by which I put into a basketball game bore the fruit of the smell that came after it. So here's what I want you to understand. These people, they knew God, they would speak of God, but they did not reek of God. Because he says later on, he says a good fruit or a good tree does not bring forth bad fruit. In other words, if you are in here and you try and tell me, now stay with me, okay, I know you're not a tree, but if you try and tell me, oh no, listen, I produce just the sweetest peaches, okay? They're Jesus peaches. And when people bite into them, they just get Jesus juice. And I'm telling you, they are filled with the Jesus. And they will eat peach after peach after peach. And Jesus will just flood their soul the whole time there's oranges growing on your branches. Right? Because so many people will try and say they are one thing, but their tree will say something different. I grew up on about 3 acres that had a bunch of fruit trees on it until I was 13 and moved to Virginia. We grew up around a bunch of fruit trees, okay? I knew the difference in my backyard between the cherry tree. We had grapevines, we had peach trees, we had apple trees, a couple different apple trees. So we grew up around all this stuff. So As I looked at the trees, I could tell you, I never once in my life, and by the way, I never had a first-time visitor that had never been around fruit trees do this either, go to the apple tree and say, oh, for a peach, and grab it off and just, it's just so juicy, you know? I've never had somebody do that. Why? Because if they looked at it, they go, that's an apple. Like, that's an apple. It's not a peach. So some of us, your parents, your youth pastor, will look at some of you and say, you ain't producing peaches. You may say you are, but you ain't. And you may look here, you might come in and real quickly, you'll look in the Bible before you come down and grab some peaches or the low-lying fruit, throw them in a basket and carry them in. Look what I've produced this week. And just bring in your peachful basket. But the moment you leave, you're back to having oranges. And so you'll try and convince all of those around you that, oh, yes, I am producing the fruit that Jesus has asked me to produce, and I am doing what Christ has asked me to do, all the while knowing that it's not true and honest in your heart. And I'm looking at you tonight and saying this. If that's you, you will stand before God one day, just like I will. And you will have to give an account for the fruit. And you can't stand before Jesus and say, here's my peach basket, and hope that he's just tricked like we are. You'll stand before Jesus one day and say, here's my peach basket, and be like, no, that's not from you. But Lord, I went to church. I went to youth group. I sung in the band. I served in the children's ministry. I did all of these wonderful things in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never knew you. You were never producing Jesus fruit. You were producing AJ fruit. Or you're producing Dave fruit. Or you're producing Brittany fruit or Brad fruit or Nate fruit. You're not producing Jesus fruit. Here's the thing. I think, now, I am not a know-it-all. Ask my wife. I mean, I may act like I am, but she knows I don't know it all. Okay, so I may have pegged some of you wrong. But I feel like in our youth group, we have some that will come into the door with their peach basket to try and trick everybody. When in reality, this is a place where friends become family. We love deeply. We speak highly. Man, throw the freaking peach basket out before you walk in the door and get it right. Come in and say, I need Jesus. I don't care if you've been in church all of your life or 2 seconds. It doesn't matter to me. If someone looks at me and says, I don't think I know Christ. I think I need to get saved. I'm not going to be like, you? What? I'm not going to do that. I don't care who you are. I don't care if Pastor John came to me and said, I've never accepted Christ. I need to accept Christ. I'm not going to look, what? How dare you? Okay, I'm not going to. I would look at him and say, let's jump into scripture. Let's get it settled. Because the thing that matters is that if you're putting the Christian mask on, that it comes off. Because here's the thing. In Revelation, it talks about this. That when the great white throne judgment happens, which is what he's talking about, depart from me, I never knew you. When we're talking about that great white throne judgment where death and hell and those who don't believe in Jesus are cast in the lake of fire, it talks about how there are those who believe in Jesus that are to the side, almost watching. And it talks about how we will see people whose blood is on our hands. That's why one of our house values is we are people bringers. Because for me to stand up here and tell you what Jesus says about this is for me to stand up here and say to you, I'm begging you to make sure you're producing Jesus fruit so that I don't have to stand on the great white throne judgment day and watch as you walk forward and Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. I think that's the reason why God casts away all sorrow. I really do. Because I can't imagine seeing my son walk forward in a line and stand, and this is just me making it up, it doesn't say they're going to be in one line and all that stuff, okay? But him walk forward in a line and go to the great white throne judgment and God say, I never knew you. And me go, what? What? I was around him all the time. Same reason I don't want to get to the great white throne judgment and say, him? He was in my youth group. He came all the time. She did this. She was on activities where we went out and served on Love Inc. projects. She was always there. And God says, depart from me. I never knew you. That's my worst fear. And I really don't want to cause you to doubt where you're like, did I get saved? Am I producing Jesus fruit? Like, I don't want you to be to the point where you say, I'm going to make a decision just to make a decision. Okay? If Jesus has changed you, you know. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know. And if you haven't, you don't know. And right now you're going, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. I hope he doesn't give an invitation that makes me go to the back. Speaking of which, heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to have an invitation time.